The following message is presented by The Upward Look. For more information, go to the website www.upwardlook.org. Now, the message.
During the last week of December in 1995, I had the privilege of giving a devotional and being interviewed on a Christian radio station. And I shared a simple devotional that day that had 3 points. The first was the gift of Christmas, the second, the goal of the new year, and third, the gospel and missions. And I'd like to expand on those points tonight. And I've entitled this, The 3 G's of Christmas and New Year's. The 3 G's of Christmas and New Year's, the gift, the goal, and the gospel. I was so excited a while back when my 3G phone could finally receive 3G signals in Minden. But here are 3 G's that you don't have to have a cell phone to see, and you don't have to have a cell phone to receive them. The 3 G's for Christmas and New Year's. First, the gift of Christmas. The gift. When we think of Christmas, we often think of gifts and presents. What we're going to give someone or what we hope to receive from someone. And children are most often excited about what they're going to receive, what gifts they want, what they want for Christmas. But one December, I asked a group of adults, what was their favorite or fondest memories of Christmas? And not one mentioned a gift. Not one mentioned that toy truck or that doll or whatever it was. Not one mentioned any specific gift about what Christmas memories were special to them. They instead talked about 2 basic areas, that of family and faith. That of family and faith. When we think about Christmas, Christmas is about family, about husbands and wives and mothers and fathers and children and brothers and sisters and grandparents and grandchildren and aunts and uncles and cousins and all of these coming together to spend time together and to share love with one another. Christmas is about that family time of spending time with those that you're related to. The same way, Christmas, we think about our spiritual family, our church gathering, our church family, as we come together as brothers and sisters in Christ and share Christ's love with one another. So there's this very special part of what Christmas celebrations are indeed about family, our related family as well as our spiritual family. And Christmas is also special because of faith. Christmas is about the faith in the gift of Christmas, the Lord Jesus. When I think of the word gift, several thoughts come to my mind, one of which is that famous verse that we all know, John 3:16, that talks about the gift. John 3:16 says, "For God is the gift giver. For God so loved the world." That's you and me, all of us, every person ever born and ever will be born. God loves, so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son. The gift God gave is Jesus, His Son, born in a manger, but born to die on a cross, born to pay for the sins that we've all committed, to be buried and to be raised again, to give us new life. Paul put it this way, "For God demonstrated His love toward us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us." We had to have that salvation. We had to have that sacrifice given for us. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him Whoever believes in Him, that's that personal trust in Jesus as your Savior, that personal confession of faith that you make and trust in Him and what Jesus has done for your salvation, that you put your trust in the fact that Jesus died on the cross paying for your sins and will raise to give you new life. That salvation that comes not through anything that we can do, but simply our trust in what Jesus has already done. Our belief. Paul put it this way, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with a heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with a mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish. We all deserve to perish. There's not a one of us that deserves eternal life. Paul put it this way, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Scripture says we've all sinned and fall short of His glory, of what He has designed for us to do. That idea of falling short is like the bow and arrow that's shooting at a target and it never gets to the target. We all fall short of what the target that God has planned for us. We've all sinned and fall short of what He desires. Paul also writes that the wages of our sin is death. Because we are sinners, because we have fallen short of God's glory, we deserve death. But I'm so thankful that verse doesn't just stop there, but goes on to say, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Notice the word gift again. We saw God's gift of His Son, and here we see God's gift of eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life, everlasting, eternal, and abundant life. Not just life in the hereafter when we go to heaven when we die and we're with God in heaven, but life here now, abundant, joyful. Experiencing God in mighty ways. Jesus says the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. As I think about that verse, they come to kill and steal and destroy. We can see that how so often in our society, just this week, you know, just yesterday they caught the man accused of setting car fires in California. And what seems to be his motive, just destruction. The devil destroys. The devil desires for us to be destroyed and to destroy life. But Jesus says, I came that they may have life and might have it abundantly. It is in Jesus that we find the abundant and joyful and meaningful life. Herschel Hobbes, a great preacher from years past, called John 3:16 the gospel in superlatives. He said, the greatest lover, God. The greatest measure of love, so loved. The greatest recipient of love, the world. The greatest utterance of love that He gave. The greatest gift of love, His only begotten Son. The greatest beneficiaries of love, whosoever. The greatest answer to love, believes in Him. The greatest liberation of love, should not perish. The greatest result of love, but have eternal life. Do you have the gift of Christmas? Do you know the giver of this gift? Do you have that personal relationship with Jesus? Are you experiencing the gift of His abundant life? We think of the gift of Christmas. Now let's think of the goals, the goal for the new year. Many people sit and have make resolutions at the beginning of a year, and that in itself is not a bad thing. As we set goals and set some ideas of some things that we want to change in our life. What are some goals for the new year? From Philippians chapter 3. There are several thoughts that I have. The first goal, to know Christ, to be like Christ. Philippians chapter 3, we will begin in verse 8. Read through verse 11. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and may be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know Him, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His suffering, being conformed to His death, in order that I may obtain to the resurrection from the dead. Well, that's a marvelous set of verses in Philippians 3. Paul is saying there in the first part of the chapter about all those honors and great things of his past life. And he says all of these great honors and degrees and whatever things he might have accomplished in his previous life, he counts them all as rubbish, all as garbage, if you will. When he thinks about the desire of knowing Christ Jesus, the value of having Jesus Christ in His life was so special and so much more higher privilege than anything he could have obtained before that. He talks there about the righteousness, not the righteousness of his good deeds, but the righteousness found in Christ. But in verse 10 is where I want us to look specifically at. He says there in verse 10, that I may know Him, that I may know Christ. This seems to be one of the deepest and goals of Paul's life, was to know Christ, to know all that he could about Christ. When we think of that idea of to know Christ, it is the idea of developing the deepest possible union with Christ. Just as we continue to learn more and more about those whom we are most intimately associated with, we are to learn more and more about Jesus Christ, to know Him, to understand Him. That ought to be our lifelong goal, not just a New Year's goal, but ought to be a lifelong goal of knowing Jesus, learning who He is. And he says, that I may know Him, and the power of His resurrection. That's the power that raised Jesus from the dead. If you stop and think about what great power that is. A cold, lifeless body. And the power to raise that body back to life. God, in that power of His resurrection, this represents the power of Jesus' victory, not only over physical death, but also over sin and spiritual death. It has the power not only to raise a physical body, but to spiritually destroy sin and death. It's the power that's available to all Christians to be victorious over sin, to live that victorious, holy, abundant life. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His suffering, being conformed to His death, in order that I may obtain the resurrection from the dead. The fellowship of His suffering. Jesus endured hardships in this life. Can you think about giving up heaven in all of its grandeur and glory and majesty and splendor? And Jesus gave all that up in order to be born not in a king's palace, not in the best place in the world, but born in a manger. Jesus endured the hardships of this life. He didn't even come in a time when you could just run down to Walmart and get whatever you need. He was born in a hard time, hard environment. But he was also persecuted, and persecuted even to death. Paul, who wrote these words, suffered many things, including beatings and stoning and shipwreck. He endured hardships and that fellowship with his suffering. We must endure hardships and dangers of this world to bring others to salvation. Many have given their lives to go to places that are not very comfortable, in order to tell them of God's salvation. Living for Christ in this sinful world brings about a certain amount of suffering. The first goal for the new year is that of to know Christ. Second, found in verses 12 through 13, forgetting what lies behind, forgetting the past. Philippians 3, 12 and 13. Not that I've already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on in order that I may lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. Forgetting, one of the keys that I see in that verse for a New Year's time is forgetting what lies behind. Here, the idea of to forget does not mean to fail to remember. It's not the idea of blotting it out of your memory. But it's instead means to no longer be influenced by or affected by the past. To not let the past influence the present. To put all that which was behind, to break its power from our life. To break the power of the past. To run the race. When you're running a race, you look forward to the end of it. And you look for that tape that runs over across the track. You want to be the first one to break that tape. And your eyes are focused on that tape. I've seen it over and over again. The two people who are running that race, and one who looks back in the lead, and he looks back to see where his next person is behind him. And what does that do? It slows him down. And I've seen it so many times where as he looks back, the person behind him passes him. Because his eyes are not focused on the person in front of him, but focused on the end goal. We cannot change what happened this past year. No matter what we may want to do, 2011 is past. And we can't change the past. But instead, we must move on into the new year, putting our eyes on that goal and not on what's behind us. Forgetting. Forgetting what lies behind. Forgetting our wrongs and guilty feelings, and those things that keep putting us down. forgetting what others have done to us, putting aside bitterness and wrath. But even to the point of forgetting even the good deeds, the good things, we sometimes tend to rest on our laurels. We glory in what's in past. And when we do that, we don't reach the goal for the future. Don't be nostalgic for the good old days. You know, those, I've heard it said many times, well, back in the good old days, it was so much better. We did this or did that. So oftentimes, those good old days were not as good as we really remember them. Paul says, forgetting what lies behind. In verse 14, the third goal, Paul says, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Pressing on. That's the third goal I see here. First, to know Christ. Second, to forget what lies behind. And third, to press on. To press on toward that goal that God has put for us. To press on toward holiness and godliness. To press on toward being more like Christ. To press on toward heaven. To press on like that runner in the race who's striving and straining to finish the race. Not like the runner who's sitting on the sidelines, studying and thinking. But the one who's out there running, looking and straining for that finish line, pressing on to the goal of what God has called us to do and to be. The goal of the new year. Is your goal for the new year to be more like Christ? Are you getting to know Christ better each day? Are you forgetting the past, not letting it influence your future? Are you pressing on obediently, doing what God has called you to do? We see the gift of Christmas, the goal of the new year. And the last G, the gospel and missions. We are to be about sharing the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. I often think of this season of the year when we have the Lottie Moon Christmas offering time, and the thoughts of missions comes to my mind when I think about December and January. And we are to be about sharing that gospel, that good news. Just like the angels did to the shepherds. In Luke 2, verses 10 through 11, the angels said, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be to all people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Here the angel is sharing the good news, the gospel. It's a good news that brings great joy for all people. That's the idea of sharing that good news with everyone. And what is that good news? That we have a Savior, Jesus Christ our Lord. Not only did the angels share, but the shepherds shared the good news with those that they, after they saw the gift of Jesus, of Christmas. Verse 17, it says of the shepherds, "And when they had seen this," meaning Jesus and Mary in the manger, "they made known the statements which had been told to them about this child." And in verse 20, "The shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as they had been told." The shepherds, not only did the angels tell the good news, the shepherds told the good news. If you stopped and thought about the shepherds and thought about how, if you'd have seen the angels, how they saw the angels and the glory of heavens that was there, and they went and found the baby, do you think they shut up and didn't tell anybody? No. They were so excited. They told everybody they found. They were there sharing and telling what God had done. And part of that telling and experiencing of the good news of the gospel was that they went back glorifying and praising and worshiping God. When we think about sharing and telling the good news, it ought to make us want to praise and worship God. Sharing the gospel, simply telling others the good news of the Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Telling others about Jesus and what He has done for you. Telling others about the gift of salvation and the gift of abundant life. And when we think about telling others and sharing the gospel around the world, we think about missions. Acts 1:8 says, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and even the remotest part of the earth." Here I think we see the foundation for mission work in the sense that it starts for the disciples. It started in Jerusalem because that's where they were. And our mission work starts right here in Minden. Right here where we are, sharing the gospel, sharing the good news with those that are around us. But not only Jerusalem, it says in Judea and Samaria, into the region where they were and into the neighboring regions around them. Not just Minden, not just Webster Parish, but Louisiana and Texas and Arkansas. We ought to be sharing the gospel where we are and around us in circles all the way around us. And then it says, even to the remotest parts of the earth. Our ability to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and the good news of what He's done for us is not just here in Minden or wherever we are, but our influence can go all around the world. This day and time, it's not hard for people to jump on an airplane and fly places and spend time in different places of the world. Yes, it costs money, but we can physically go in remote places of the world. But also there are other ways that our influence can reach the world. One reason why I have some of the things I have on the internet is because that is as one way of sharing the gospel with the entire world. There are other ways as well. Mark 16:15, Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." Go into all the world. We have to start where we are. But we can't just rest on what we have done and said we have shared the gospel here in Minden. But we have to share it all around the world. How can we be a part of missions? We've been talking about the fact that we can participate in missions locally, in our state and in our nation and around the world. We can participate by being involved in the work of the kingdom, the activity of God's church, not just our own specific church, but all of God's church as we celebrate and work within the kingdom and the kingdom's work. We can be a witness. We can participate in missions by being a witness, by sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with that next door neighbor or with the person that you meet at the store. And get to talking there in the store about the prices of groceries to share a word of witness about Jesus there. Wherever we are, we can be a witness telling others of the gospel. We can also go. We can go on mission trips and do things like do vacation Bible schools in different places or participate in other evangelistic projects like block parties or whatever the events may be, or even on building teams where you go and build and work on building a church building. All of those are important things that you can do in mission trips, and there's multiple things that we could do in sharing the gospel. Second First is participate in missions. Second is we pay. Order, participate, pay, and pray. You know, those three P's. We can pay through our regular tithes and offerings that we share that go to support the mission work here in our church and in our area and around the world through the cooperative program. But also for the three special mission offerings that we take for the state, North American, and international missions, the Georgia Barnett offering for state missions, the Annie Armstrong offering for North American missions, and the Lottie Moon Christmas offering for international missions. Sharing of what we have so that others can go to the field. Others can go, and because we're helping them, we are a part of sending those missionaries and reaching the world. And the third is to pray. To pray daily for missionaries. To pray daily for those that are about the deed of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Not only praying for missionaries in foreign field, but praying for pastors, and even praying for Bible teachers and Sunday school teachers as they share the good news of Jesus. Are you sharing the gospel? Are you telling others about Jesus and what he means to you? Are you involved in doing missions local, national, and global? Are you giving to support missionaries? Are you praying for missionaries in the spread of the gospel? As we think of this holiday time of Christmas and New Year's, and even as we come to the conclusion of that season of the year, let's focus on those three G's: the gift, the goal, the gospel. The gift of Christmas, the goal of the new year, and the gospel in missions. Every good sermon, they used to say, needed 3 points, which the three G's, and it needs a point. So here's the point. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. Let us do His good will. He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. We must trust in the gift of Christmas. Part of the obeying, part of the obedience is pressing on to the goal of the upward call in God, in Christ Jesus. Knowing Christ. Part of obedience is about sharing the good news of the gospel here at home and around the world. Let's pray. Lord, as we come to the conclusion of the holiday season, help us to be mindful of your great gift to us. And help us to share that gift with those we know and those that we meet. And those around the world. Help us to apply your word to our hearts and to our lives as we leave this place to share the love of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
The preceding message was presented by The Upward Look. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ, or The Upward Look, go to the website www.upwardlook.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.